Mark chapter 10, and you'll read responsively with me tonight, verses 32. I tell you what, there's just three verses there, 32 through 34. Let's read that in unison tonight as we look into the Word of God tonight. All right, help me as we read verse 32. Here we go. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll have you seated. Heavenly Father, I'm so mindful of my need of you tonight, in this moment, and I pray that you'd cleanse me of any sin and just fill me with the Spirit of God. Allow me these few moments to be a blessing to these folks that are going in the right direction. They've been a blessing to us today. And Lord, we want to return that favor, encourage them as they go into a busy week, physical taxing week, and yet a week filled with many blessings, no doubt. Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity. Use us, we pray. Point folks to Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Please be seated. I'm glad to be down here in the South. Don't try to figure out my accent. I'm from northern Minnesota. But I've been married to a hillbilly for 30 years. My wife got saved as a sophomore in the church that I pastor because of the bus ministry. Amen. Went off to Bible college, and that's where we met, and God's worked it out to bring us back there. And my speech is just, I'm just a misfit. When I'm still in Hazard there. I've been there 19 years now, and I still run into people. You're not from here, are you? I go back to Minnesota, and they say, you're not, where in the world are you from? And but when I met my wife, everything changed. I mean, just, I had to learn a whole new vocabulary. I mean, poke salad, and you took your nap, you know. You know what you did? You kagged out. I mean, I had to learn all these different things, you know, things we just never used. And I said, so where do you live at? What's it like? She said, I live up in a holler. She said, you know what a holler is? I said, yeah, that's what my folks do when they get mad at me. And she's telling me just a lot of the things, the culture and stuff of Eastern Kentucky. It's just hillbilly folks. And so it was different for me. She told me of one place called Echo Ridge. And she said, you walk up in the back of this holler. The holler is just a valley between these two mountains. She said, you walk up to the end of that thing, and there's a certain spot just the way that wind gets back in there and comes back out. She said, you can speak, and it will echo right back to you. And I'm thinking, yeah, baloney. That's a bunch of baloney. I don't believe that for a minute, you know. And so life went on. We ended up getting married, we went hiking one day at her folks' place there, back in the hills there, and we got to the top. She said, this is it. I said, this is what? She said, this is Echo Ridge. And I'm trying to think, what are you talking about? And she said, go ahead, just speak anything you want into the wind there, and it'll take it and repeat it. So I just said the first thing that came to my mind, baloney! And I said, just like I thought, nothing happened. She said, no, come on, I'll give it a chance, you know, and say a whole sentence, and it'll come back. And so I'm thinking, man, I just got married, preacher, and I just read back, next thing came to my mind. I said, I'm going to be the greatest preacher in the world. But she was right, it came right back. Baloney, baloney. I've never been back to Echo Ridge, not one time. So now you don't expect much, all right? Praise God for America. I love this country. I enjoyed that patriotic number this morning. I love this country. I spent 4 years in the military, spent 4 years as a Marine, and I went 2 years in the reserve to go through Bible college. I love this country. It's the land of the free and the home of the brave. It's the land of the blessed because of God's grace on a nation that put God first. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But it's disheartening to watch this nation disintegrate. Again, I want you to see something. I don't want to, like I say, you got a positive thing. I don't want to come here and put a gloom about things, but I know we all think about these things. And I'm going to turn it around. It'll be a positive thought. But economically, $17 trillion in debt. Any honest economist tells us it has to collapse. China and Russia already saying they're dumping the dollar. Morally, driving by the liquor stores, the wickedness on television, videos and books and magazines, nightclubs and casinos and dance halls and the internet, and the list goes on of the wickedness of this country. And then we same people will turn around and sing God Bless America. Politically, nations threatening Iran and ISIS and all the different things going on. And then if you listen to the news like I do and alternative news, the problem is that we've got our military training for what they claim is the terrorists of this country is the returning vets, Christians, gun owners, conservatives, and they're even preparing internment camps, which they call re-education camps. Or you don't want to take our vaccines? What's wrong with you? You want to infest everybody else? Let us retrain you. In May of 1961, preacher, I shared this with you, President John F. Kennedy said, I will put a man on the moon. I mean, that's the kind of future and drive and vision that we had in our leadership. In May of 2016, Barack Hussein Obama said, I will put a man in the woman's bathroom. God help us. We've come a long way, baby. Just the wrong direction. Prophetically, Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. We've forgotten God when there's no more prayer in schools. They're trying to forget God when we have Supreme Court justice saying that same-sex marriage is okay. They're forgetting God when they're bringing the world into the churches and the Christians are becoming more worldly. May God help us. I went by driving down an interstate one day and I seen a sign. I wrote it down, changing the way you think of church. And that's the problem. They don't want us to think of it as an old-fashioned preaching and looking what thus saith the Lord and the comforter has come and so is the convictor, praise God. Psalm 50, think about it, just all the negative that comes and we look down the road and we rejoice in a baby born, but then we wonder what's going to be like for these coming generations. And again, we get pumped up, the preacher's job get us pumped up and boy, we're going to go after souls and stay at this thing, but and then we think of these negative things and we wonder, man, the future looks worse than the present. You know, I'm amazed. And then even personal things. You know, when it rains, it pours. Sometimes things go from bad to worse. Marital problems, physical issues, and financial problems. Our beloved president has successfully shut down the coal mining in Hazard, Kentucky. Most of them are either getting new different type of jobs, but it's shut down all the supporting jobs. And folks are moving out. I got members moving out. I wonder what the future holds. Sometimes your church, there's ups and downs in the Christian life. There's ups and downs in a marriage. There's ups and downs in a church life. No doubt you've had them here. And sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. And you wonder about the future. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Hey, cheer up. Things are going to get worse. In our text tonight, I'm just thrilled that, and more and more I watch this, almost every area of our life, the Lord Jesus Christ is an example to us. In our text tonight, Jesus is going through, not everybody's flogging to him at this point in his ministry. And there's some that they're huddling together, man, we got to do this fella in, we got to get rid of him. And he starts pointing out to them. Look at verse number 33 again. Seven times, watch the word shall. He knows this is what's going to happen to him. He knows the future is going to be worse than what it's going through right now. Stay with me now. Verse 33, saying, "Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him." And so he's letting them know, hey, we've got some rough times ahead. Rough waters are coming, and listen, this is how we're going at it, though. And I want to preach a thought tonight. When the future looks worse than the present, this is the third time, by the way, that Jesus mentions. You go back to Mark 8:31, Mark 9:31. He told the same thing. I'm going to go. I'll be delivered. I'll be mocked. I'll be crucified and killed. But how did Jesus? My question tonight: how did Jesus respond to the fact that things were going to get worse in his life? Again, he's our example. We look down the road and we kind of wonder what the future holds for America. But I'm telling you what, we got a Savior. He's the shepherd. We're to walk in his path, amen? And he laid out a path for us. Now remember, keep it in mind now, he knows he's going to the cross. He knows things are going to get worse. When the future looks worse than the present, what do? Number one, remain focused on the will of God. Remain focused on the will of God. Stay with me now. Look at verse 35 again, 35 to begin with here. Verse 35, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, "Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire." He said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you?" And they said unto him, "Grant unto us that we may sit the one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory." And of course, he went through some questions about that, and then the disciples went through their indignation. "I can't believe you be so bold and to want them spots there in glory." And then look at verse 43. But so shall it not be among you, Gentiles. They put their lordship and authority of these great ones. Not so among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Do you get that? He's going through, and these problems come in his ministry, preacher. How these folks coming for counsel, and now he's got church members and church leaders, if you will, arguing amongst each other, and pride rising up, wanting to be the greatest, but he's focused, and he's got all them problems going on, and he knows he's going to the cross, but he says, hey, he's committed to the will of God for his life. He said, "I came not to be ministered, but to give my life a ransom for many." Hey, God has a will for every one of our lives. And success is finding the will of God and doing it. And when the problems come and things might look rough down the road, hey, I can't control all that, but I can stay in the will of God. I can stay focused on the will of God. You know, suffering is a part of the will of God. I'll read to you two verses from Peter, chapter 5 and verse 10 of his first epistle. He said, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That's just part of God's plan. Job said it, life is full of troubles. Chapter 4, verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him and well-doing as unto a faithful creator. And so I'm talking about the will of God. And the very Peter that wrote that, listen, man, it was prophesied, man, Peter, you're doing what you want and going where you want to now, but one of these days they're going to lead you where you don't want to go. You're going to go, listen, if you love me, Peter, just feed me. And one of these days you're going to go and they're going to hang you. And he says, but follow me, John 21. But follow me, follow thou me. And he's following, he says, What about him? What about John? And Jesus looked at him and says, what's that to you? If I let him stay till I come again, you just follow me. You just stay focused, Peter. Hey, God's will for Peter was to feed the flock and to follow Christ and to stay focused on the will of God for his life. And I'm telling you, listen, no matter what the problems look like, just remain focused on the will of God. Praise God. You know, I'm telling you what, people can get you sidetracked. Problems can get you sidetracked. Promotion can get you sidetracked. How praise can get you sidetracked. But just stay focused on the will of God. I was at a good church preacher years ago and took a youth group to Mount Salem Revival Grounds. And we was there all week, and God was churning in my heart. He's working on me. I don't know what he's doing to them youth, but he's ripping me to pieces on the inside. I'm coming to the altar, and that last night I came to the altar. Actually came to that side over there, and I was praying, and Brother Oliver raised him. I'm sure you know him, preacher. And I called him towards me. I said, preacher, I just need someone to pray with me. I said, I think God's wanting me to leave and go into the pastorate. And he made a statement to me before he prayed, and I'll never forgot it. And he said, just be consumed with the will of God. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what if I stepped out and became a pastor. I don't know what all that might be worse than where I was at. But he said, be consumed with the will of God. And listen, when the future, and I, of course, I was excited about the future, but when it looks worse than the present, hey, just remain focused on the will of God. Let me give you another thought. Number two, volunteer to be used of God. Volunteer to be used of God. Now remember now, he's on the way to Calvary. Everything he does from that point, he knows he's going to Calvary. That's the will of God for his life. And everything he runs into is just something, an incident on his way to Calvary, on his way to the cross, on his way to dying for me and you, on his way to taking the sins of all mankind, all the sins of all the sinners of all time, coming upon him for the first time, being separated in fellowship from his heavenly Father. All that's coming upon him, and yet he's going along, and he's looking for people to help. Look at it in the text. Look at verse 46. Verse 46. The Bible says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him. Aren't you glad when Jesus stops a while to listen to your prayer? Ain't that a blessing? And they call a blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for thee. Hey, one of God's calling for you tonight in a special way. Just because he knows you've been praying about something and he's about ready to let loose with the answer, amen? Maybe it's a ministry. Maybe it's to go off to Bible college. That's been stressed today. Listen, maybe it's that salvation that you've been putting off. But he said, and he called the blind man, and he called for the verse 50, and he casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What can I do for you, sir? I mean, here he is. The future looks worse than the present. He's heading to Calvary. He knows he's going to be killed. He knows he's going to be rejected. Listen, the shepherd will be smitten, the sheep will be scattered, even his own loyal followers are going to flee that night, and even Peter will deny that he knows him three times. He knows all that's coming, and yet he's looking. Can I do something for you, sir? Can I help you, sir? Can I help? Hey, think about that. Jesus still asks that question. Can I do something for you? He still loves us tonight, amen? Praise God. But I'm talking about what when the future looks worse than the present, volunteer to be used of God. Isn't it nice when you go into a store? And now we was over here in Sullivan, went into the Walmart, but most places got these big super Walmarts. And so it's nice when you walk in and say, hey, can you show me this is that? Especially me. Now my wife don't mind going there 2 or 3 times a day. But 2 or 3 times a month is too much for me, all right? That's good preaching, amen? And so it's refreshing. Someone comes up and says, hey, I need some soap detergent. I don't even know how to say that stuff. And she says, yeah, it's over in aisle 23 on the left-hand side or the right. But you'll find you can't miss it. Last famous words, and you go, and she said, maybe it's aisle 24. Yeah, that's encouraging. But back in February of 2014, our school went to the state tournament. Of course, all the schools do. We was there to compete. And we stayed in, I think it was a guest house. Not what that is, something like that. I forget the name of the place. But anyway, we got in there. And one morning, my wife didn't want to go to breakfast, but she said, I would like some hot chocolate. And so I went down there. I'm going down in this kitchen area. And I find the coffee pot. And I'm looking around, and I'm just looking like this. Lady comes up and says, can I help you? And I said, sure, I need some hot chocolate. She's looking up. She said, oh, there's none here. She walks over to the side. She opens up the cupboard. She grabs me 2 packs of it. She hands it to me. She says, can I get you anything else? I said, no, ma'am, that's all right. And I was looking at the mantle there, and I seen these little trophies like. And I said, just maybe that's why that hotel got the J.D. Powers and Associates Service Award for the last 4 years in a row. Can I help you, sir? I didn't go looking her up. She said, can I help you, sir? That kind of help our churches, wouldn't it? Visitor comes in. They're looking for a spot. Can I help you? Can you sit in mine? Would you like to sit in my seat? Been here 23 years, but you could sit in it anyway. We won't go back there. I don't know who they are. I'm still saying that, all right? Jesus was looking for somebody less fortunate to help. He's going to a cross, but he's got his eyesight. Hey, I don't know what you're facing, but there's always going to be somebody worse off than you are. You know, when problems come, we just want to focus on our problems. Wrong thing to do. Best thing to do is look around for someone else. Try to help them. There's a lot of spiritually blind out there that need Jesus. may just find them this week in Vacation Bible School. May just find them this week. Hey, teenagers, bus drivers, van drivers, anybody involved in that Vacation Bible School? Going to be a rough, hard week. Always is. Hot week. Boy, I'm glad I come up here to get out of the hot weather. It's just only 95 up here today. That's good, you know. If our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There's always somebody that is less fortunate than us as Christians that's lost in their sin. Amen. God help us to volunteer to be used of God. Hey, when the future looks worse than the present, let me say this, stay faithful to the Word of God. Stay faithful to the Word of God. This is interesting. Go to chapter 11. Go to chapter 11. Be encouraged now. There's only 16 chapters in the book of Mark. I tell you how many points I got, but I don't want to discourage you, all right? When they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. He saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where the two ways met. And they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do you loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And he sat upon him, and many spread their garments in the way. And others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And laid out the red carpet for him. And they that went before him, and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple, and when he looked around about on the things that eventide was come, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So there he's coming in, and he's going to Calvary. He's going to Calvary. He knows he's going to die. That's the will of God. I came to give my life a ransom. Sure, I can help a few people along the way, but a colt? Let's skip that. That's so insignificant. I'm going to Calvary. Are you with me? But let me take you to the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 4. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, and I quote from Zechariah 9:9, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. Hey, Jesus, why do you want to waste your time with this old colt deal? I know you know the will of God for your life. I know that Mark chapter 11 is where you're supposed to say, go get the colt. But what's the difference when you're going to Calvary? What big deal is it? I'll tell you what, it's the word of God. He's staying faithful to the word of God. And when you think it's time to say, well, I don't need that anymore. I'm telling you what, you can expect things to get worse then. By the way, that's why they're getting worse in our country. Folks have gotten away from being faithful to the Word of God. May it not be so with us. Number four, let me show you this. Maintain a zeal and a reverence for the house of God. Look at verse 15, Mark 11, verse 15. Maintain a zeal and a reverence for the house of God. Look at verse 15. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. By the way, it's not the first time he's done this. He did it right after his first miracle, the beginning of his ministry. We're about 3 years later, and he has not lost his zeal for the house of God. Now he's 3 years closer to Calvary, and he still hasn't lost his zeal for the house of God. Thank God for the Sunday night crowd. Thank God for the Wednesday night crowd. Thank God for the Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night crowd of this week. Hey, the zeal, the house of God, getting folks and using the ministry of BBS to get other folks here. Listen, we ought to never, things might look worse and problems come in our life. Hey, you lost a loved one. That's not the time to get out of the house of God, amen? Hey, maintain that zeal and that reverence for the house of God. I remember teaching my girls, no, we don't run in church now. You don't need to be playing around up on the platform. Come down, sweetie. We don't swing on the chandeliers, all right? All right. Are you swimming in the baptistry again, sweetheart? Get out of there. You know, we got to teach them, you know, amen? Maintain a zeal and reverence for the house of God. By the way, that's a quote from Scripture, Psalm 69:9. Psalm 122:11. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amazing how people are glad when they first get saved, but hey, when problems come and things look like they're getting worse, they're no longer glad to come to the house of God, the very thing that's going to keep them on track. Psalm 84:10. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the God, of my God, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Man, that's what we need, just to remain faithful to the house of God. Remain, maintain a zeal and a reverence for the house of God. Then let me give you this one here. Continue to have faith in God. Things look worse. I don't know where this country's going. Got elections coming up. May go from bad to worse as far as picking a president. We've got a country we're convinced is crazy now. I only wish that Mr. Obama would be running for a third term so I could vote against him 3 times. Amen. But continue to have faith in God. I skipped a portion of that chapter. Let me jump back there, because the story got split by him going into the temple. Well, let me give it to you, Mark 11:12. You're listening well, I appreciate it. I'll wrap it up here soon after the next 6 points. Mark 11, I'm glad you're laughing, amen, that's good. Mark 11:12. The Bible says, and Jesus entered in Jerusalem into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventime was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. He goes into the temple, verses 15 through 17, we pick it up. In verse number 20, about when it comes back, in verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God. Everybody say that. Have faith in God. Amen. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Here's Jesus teaching on faith, teaching on trusting the Heavenly Father, believing in the one that loves you, and just having faith in God. He's going to Calvary. Things are looking worse. But he's not lost faith in his Father. Amen. Devil wants us to do that, doesn't he? Just wants us to doubt. And I'm telling you what, and by the way, that's why you need to stay faithful to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's why you need to stay in the house of God, hearing the preaching of the Word of God, that you might have faith in God, that everything's going to be all right. Might not turn out the way you like it, but God is still on the throne. Amen. Faith for answered prayer. Faith for bearing fruit. Jesus said, John 15:5. Let me give you the can-do cousins. Amen. I'm sure you probably know them. Can-do cousins. John 15:5. I am the vine, you the branches. He that abideth me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The can-do cousins. Hey, I'm reminded I can't do anything without Jesus, but I can do all things with Jesus. Hey, faith to believe that God wants to use you. Enjoy still reading. I kind of get on this, and then I get off it sometimes, but half a year or so, I've been back on it, just reading a proverb of the day. Just yesterday, we read Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You know, I just want to believe that God still wants me to use me to reach someone else for Jesus. Amen. Let's believe that. I believe we got one more and one more page with those 6 points I was talking about. Last thought right here. Go back to Mark chapter 10. When the future looks worse than the present, never forget, number 6, never forget your future blessings from God. Never forget your future blessings from God. I said there were seven times the word shall was mentioned. To where I read was true, but many of you noticed there was 8, wasn't there? Let's look at it. Verse 33, Mark 10, saying, behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered into the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. Hallelujah. Amen. Never forget your future blessings from God. Yeah, I'm going to Calvary. Yeah, things look worse than they are now, but glory to God, 3 days later, I'm coming out of that grave. I'm going on to glory. Amen. And because I live, ye shall live also. And go and listen, I want you to go tell everybody this great story. Hey, they can face the future because we know who holds tomorrow. Glory to God. Never forget your future blessings from God. Our future has been prophesied for us. The resurrection by God. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. No matter how bleak the future might look, when the future looks worse than the present, hey, you can be comforted in the future that you've got, how the blessings of God coming on you, amen. Then not only that, but the righteousness of God. 1 John 3:1-2. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. I have the future blessing. I'm glad, as we just sang a while ago, this robe of flesh will drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. We pray by faith. One day we're going to see him face to face. Amen. And we'll be like him, praise God. I'm glad when I won't have to fail my God again. I'm glad when I won't have to fail my wife again. I'm glad when I won't have to fail my children again. I'm glad when I won't have to fail my church again. Praise God. Hey, there's a future blessing when I'm going to be like Jesus completely. Praise God. By the way, I'm working on that now. Next verse says, and he that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. That's our job now, to work at that. Then one last thing. Listen, we got the prophecy of the blessings coming, the resurrection by God, the righteousness of God, and the ruling with God. Hey, he's coming back on a. Hey, they can put up all the different. I believe we ought to be as involved as we can politically. How to use our right to vote. But listen, regardless of what comes out, he's coming down. He's come back on a white horse. And we'll be coming back with him. We're going to reign and rule with him, praise God. Hey, when the future looks worse than the present, never forget your future blessings from God. Two more statements and I'm done. I kind of cheated on John 16:33. Let me give you the whole thing. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We're on the winning side, folks. When the future looks worse than the present, hey, we can still rejoice because we're on the winning side. Amen. Let's bow for prayer, please. My friend, I should have kept it right in the sermon, but if you're not saved tonight, let me tell you the future looks much worse for you. Eternal damnation, separation from God forever, no mercy, no exit signs in hell. If you've never been saved, the future does look worse for you, and you can't claim all these other things that we can help us to go on. So I challenge you to come down this aisle and let someone show you how to be saved tonight. Christian, let's rejoice. We're on the winning team. Take these principles. Follow the Lord Jesus on his way to Calvary. But nothing stopped him. Lord, we love you and pray that you'd bless this invitation. And we ask in Jesus' precious name.